Now, Wisconsin has an election in less than 2 weeks, and there are some big questions about how it will be impacted by the novel coronavirus. The election is set for Tuesday, April 7th. On top of a lot of local races, Wisconsin voters can weigh in on the presidential primary, and all voters will have their final say in the state Supreme Court race between incumbent Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly and Dane County Circuit Judge Jill Karofsky. And now, as the number of coronavirus cases continues to grow in Wisconsin, Governor Evers is calling on lawmakers to send a mail-in ballot to every voter in the state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see happen with the election? Do you think the state should postpone it or try to move it to a mail-in only election? Do you worry that changing it this late could disenfranchise some voters? If you are a regular poll worker, love to hear from you. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Barry Burden is a professor of political science at UW-Madison. Barry, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be back. Thanks.
Well, let's start with some of this latest breaking news today. Governor Evers saying he wants lawmakers to authorize sending ballots to every voter. Republicans saying, hold on, there's no time to do that. What do you make of this?
I agree that there's no time to do that if the election remains on April 7th. There are over 3 million registered voters in Wisconsin. It seems completely implausible that 3 million plus ballots could be printed, envelopes printed, and all of that distributed to voters in time to get those ballots back by Election Day. Encouraging people to vote by absentee, I think, has been a bipartisan message, and from local election officials who are nonpartisan. So that message has been out there for a while and seems to have been working. But I think to transition to automatically mailing ballots out at this late point without changing the date is probably not going to happen.
If there the idea of delaying the election, who has the authority to do that in Wisconsin?
It's a great question. We know that the legislature and governor could change the date because it's set by statute. And so the legislature could convene and pass a bill that the governor would sign to change the date. That's quite possible. It's possible that a court could order the date to change. And there are now, at least by my count, I think two lawsuits asking federal courts to do that. And that might be acceptable if the courts believe that the current election would violate a constitutional right or some other higher level provision at the federal level. It doesn't seem that the governor could change the date of the election on his own, and he hasn't expressed interest in doing that anyway, nor could the legislature do it on its own. So it's probably a matter of the two branches of government working together very quickly or a court jumping in to change the date as a last-minute remedy.
Can you think of a parallel? Do we have examples of how states have dealt with a case like this where a disease is just getting ready to really peak here just in time for Election Day?
There are some examples. None of them are exactly what we're experiencing now. I think the one people have probably heard about recently is the so-called Spanish flu outbreak in 1918. That midterm election did go forward, even though the virus was sort of peaking in its impact right around late October, early November. Turnout was also down somewhat sharply in that election, but it did take place. I think a couple other more recent examples would be 9/11, which happened, what was that, on a Monday morning, I believe. Mm-hmm. And there was an election scheduled in some communities for that day or the next day. And many of them postponed the date of that election at the last moment. There have been other disasters. Superstorm Sandy affected a presidential election and caused, you know, polling places to be moved and ballots to be shifted around and machinery to be replaced. But we've not had anything quite like this where people are essentially ordered to be at home, not to interact with other people face-to-face, and yet the election appears to be proceeding.
We're talking to Barry Burden, professor of political science at UW-Madison. Barry, no matter what happens with the election day, somebody's going to be unhappy about it. Do you have a preferred solution? Do you have an ideal response here in your mind?
Well, I think we've done a number of things right. Wisconsin has had a little more lead time than some of the states that had presidential primaries earlier in March. Some of them, like Ohio, were caught off guard and ended up sort of zigging and zagging back and forth before canceling the primary or postponing it. So I think Wisconsin's been able to learn from what those other states have done. And officials, in a bipartisan way, have pushed for the use of absentee voting. And the public has responded. As of this morning, over 750,000 absentee ballots had been requested by voters around the state. That is about three times as many as has ever been cast in a presidential primary in Wisconsin. So really tremendous response. It's going to be an imperfect election. We know that. There will be a poll worker shortage. There will be concerns about people going to the polls face-to-face if they haven't voted absentee. There are people who are facing difficulty voting absentee. I think some of the things that the lawsuits are asking for are reasonable accommodations that would be helpful.
Yeah, what kind of reasonable accommodations? Yeah.
Yeah, allowing absentee ballots to arrive after Election Day. This was actually practiced in Wisconsin until 2016 when the law was changed to require absentee ballots to arrive on Election Day. We know that many voters are going to have a difficult time getting those ballots back by Election Day. Election officials, clerks, are already telling us they will not be able to count the ballots as quickly as they had hoped. So they're going to be counting anyway later in the week. So I think allowing those ballots to come back in on the old timeline or even later seems like a very reasonable accommodation that doesn't jeopardize the integrity of the election or security in any significant way. There's also been requests to delay the voter registration deadline. And in fact, the online registration deadline was delayed, and some other requests dealing with voter ID. There's a whole variety of things that are getting in voters' way and really making it difficult for them during these unusual circumstances.
Can we do those things without reconvening the legislature?
I don't think so. I don't want to offer legal advice here.
That's a big group of people in one room, yeah.
Yeah, I think... those decisions are probably up to courts at this point, which is why we're seeing the litigation come fast and furious. There are now at least four federal lawsuits, I believe, underway, and we may see some decisions from judges in the coming days as we get closer to the election. It doesn't look like the governor and the state legislature are going to come together to do anything specific legislatively.
We're talking to Barry Burden, UW-Madison political scientist, about some of the many issues with the April 7th election in Wisconsin and the coronavirus outbreak. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you worried about the health risks of going to vote in person? Do you have concerns about an election that would be completely vote by mail, which would be hard to pull off at this point? What is the right answer to you? Would you want it delayed if that were possible? And if you work the polls generally, are you gonna this time? What's on your mind? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation now about concerns over the novel coronavirus and the state's April 7th election. Barry Burden is with us from UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you've worked as a poll worker in the past, you have plans to do it on April 7th. Are you worried about health risks? What is the best solution? Are you planning to go to the polls and vote yourself? Have you already got an absentee ballot? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Steve is with us in Sun Prairie. Steve, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. To me, this is a no-brainer. You just delay it 3 months. You get the legislature together, and you have a delay of 3 months. I think the Republicans are being dumb here. I think Evers knows that early voting would always go to Democrats, and he's hoping that the people who would vote Republican won't show up out of fear, and he's looking to suppress the vote. And I think the Republicans are going to get played right into that.
Thanks for the call, Steve. What do you think, Barry?
Well, there are definitely many people who think the election ought to be delayed, and something like 8 or 10 states have done just that with their presidential primaries. I don't think 3 months is possible for a couple reasons. One is that delegates to the Democratic National Convention who are chosen as part of this presidential primary have to be selected by the first week of June. So for states that have moved their primaries back, they're not going any later than June 2nd. And that now looks like a big day for lots of states to be holding events. But that date at least is a possibility. The convention, again, is in July. The other concern is that so many offices are going to turn over in April. And so new officials need to be selected for city councils and school boards and township boards all around the state. There's a real concern about those being vacant if the election were to be pushed back into May or June. So that's another concern. It's both the presidential primary, which has to be wrapped up by early June, and then these offices, which turn over even sooner than that.
Thanks for that call, Steve. Yeah, some of these other states had it easier. They just had to reschedule a primary, which you still don't want to do. We have a primary, but we also have this general election, and that, as you were just saying, makes this more complicated.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, it's an election for many offices and a presidential primary, and there's a ballot issue, a constitutional amendment, all on the ballot together. And so those things being delayed have different kinds of consequences depending on when the delay would happen. So I think the conclusion here is that there's not going to be an ideal way to run this election. None of us are going to be happy with, I think, any outcome. Whether the system would be better in May or June, I think, is unclear, not knowing exactly what the pattern of this pandemic is going to look like over the coming weeks.
Let's go back to our callers now. Robert is with us in Neenah. Robert, hello.
Hello, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Robert?
I was just wondering, what if we could do like drive-up polls, kind of like what we're doing for COVID-19 testing? I wonder if that's an option.
Robert, thanks for the call. Trying to secure hand sanitizer and more. But drive-up polling, I don't know about.
Drive-up voting is happening to some degree. In Madison, the clerk is only accepting ballots in person through a drive-up, what's called curbside voting. Curbside voting has always been available to people with disabilities or a mobility problem that prevents them from getting out of their car and coming into the polling place. But now some clerks are allowing that to happen, and maybe only allowing that to happen. I think that's possible right now because it's a small number of people who want to use that option. If we went to widespread curbside voting, there would have to be, a real change in the layout of polling places, and probably in places like Colorado where they actually do this, they commandeer large parking lots and you need traffic cones and people directing traffic. It does become kind of an operation. So again, these last minute moves, I think there are a lot of interesting ideas on the table. It's just very hard to implement them in a short period of time.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Michelle now in Madison. Michelle, hello. Hello, Michelle.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I was a poll worker for several years, and I'm just aware of the proximity that's required of poll workers and of voters, if nothing else than to witness the voter's signature on the district book. So it doesn't seem to me that it's in the public's best interest at all to be looking at the possibility of holding elections in the polling places, as we've always done it in the past. My personal favorite option would be to wait on holding the election for a minimum of several weeks, and then to push for Tony Evers' idea of having ballots come by mail.
Michelle, thanks for the call. So delay and use that time to make it mail-in only. Barry, do you think that's a viable option?
Well, I think the only way that an all-mail election could happen would be to delay it for many weeks. States that have shifted to all-mail voting over the years have typically done it over a long time period. It's been sort of a slow movement in the direction of more and more voting by mail, and then eventually the state makes the jump. There are only about three or four states that are doing that now. It would be a tremendous undertaking for the state to produce all of those, as I say, over 3 million ballots and envelopes to go out, and then for clerks to process those as they came back in. I don't know how much time would be needed for that, but it's a more complicated undertaking than it seems.
Thanks for that call. We heard from another poll worker, Naomi, on Facebook, says, I don't feel we're prepared for in-person voting. Clerks have been told they're on their own to find sanitizer and protective gear. And Naomi says, poll workers must meet training requirements before working on an election. There are a lot of procedures to follow. Please, no last-minute replacements. That's some of the talk, Barry, finding younger people so that the older poll workers don't put themselves at risk. Easier said than done?
Yeah, this is a real constraint on this election. A lot of poll workers, by some reports, about half of poll workers who had signed up for April 7th are now backing out for, I think, very reasonable concerns. And the ones who are still signed up are worried about access to hand sanitizer, face masks, gloves, other kinds of protections. It may be possible to implement some of the things we're seeing at retail establishments now with, 6-foot distances, marks on the floor, those kinds of procedures. But as Michelle, I think, was saying, there does have to be some interaction between the voter and the poll worker. If nothing else, handing the ballot, observing them sign the poll book, looking at the ID. So it's difficult to have much distance, and poll workers may interact with many voters over the course of a day. I think one hope is that with lots of absentee voting, the volume of voters on election day may be much lighter. And so it might be possible to operate with a more skeletal poll worker staff. That's an unknown at this point, but I think that's what some clerks at least are betting on.
In our last minute or so, Barry, what are you watching for between now and April 7th?
I'll be watching how many more absentee ballot requests are made, how many ballots are issued. We may reach a million or more, which would be completely astounding in our state. But then there's a second question afterwards, how many of those ballots actually come back? Many people have requested them, but there is a procedure that involves getting a witness signature, signing the ballot yourself, and returning it by the deadline. And I think that's going to be a challenging set of hurdles for many voters to meet.
Barry, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Glad to be with you.
We've been talking to Barry Burden from UW-Madison's Political Science Department. He was with us to take a look at some issues with Wisconsin's April 7th election. By the way, you can keep sharing your thoughts, maybe your experiences, your hopes and fears for what should or shouldn't happen come April 7th. Do that over on the Ideas Network Facebook page, looking at the election in the midst of the coronavirus outbreak.